In today's scripture reading from the letter of James, we hear Jesus' brother encouraging us to pray. And that made me think about my own prayer life to some extent. What prayer do I use as my fallback prayer? What prayer do I use in the middle of the night when I am worried and need something to hold on to? What prayer do I say with most of my patients as a hospital chaplain? And what prayer do we all say in unison here at St. Paul's each and every Sunday? I suspect you may have already guessed the answer to that question, the Lord's Prayer. Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, said, "If you were to give a summary of the Christian faith on the back of an envelope, the best thing to do would be to write the Lord's Prayer. More than any creed, more than any book of theology, this simple short prayer expresses the fullness of Christian faith. The Lord's Prayer is deceptively simple. It's short. And it's been said that we Episcopalians like short prayers. It's a powerful prayer. It is pastoral and comforting and grounding. And it's radical, challenging us politically and economically and socially." New Testament scholar N.T. Wright says this about the Lord's Prayer: "The more I have studied Jesus in his historical setting, the more it has become clear to me that this prayer sums up fully and accurately, albeit in a very condensed fashion, the way in which he read and responded to the signs of the times, the way in which he understood his own vocation and mission and invited his followers to share it. This prayer, then, serves as a lens through which to see Jesus himself and to discover something of what he was about. We live as Jesus lives in a world all too full of injustice, hunger, malice, and evil. This prayer cries out for justice, bread, forgiveness, and deliverance. If anyone thinks those are irrelevant in today's world, let them read the newspaper or listen to the news on TV and think again. When Jesus gave his disciples this prayer, he was giving them part of his own breath, his own life, his own prayers. The prayer begins, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Jesus teaches us to approach God as Father. That is, we look to God not like an employer or boss, or primarily as a judge or king, or as some other impersonal figure or of power. We approach God as Father, as mother, as parent. God does not have gender. God is not male or female. We are God's children. God cares for us and we care for God. We trust and rely on our loving father or mother or parent. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is radical and challenging. Jesus is teaching us to pray for and to work for God's kingdom and God's will to be done here and now on earth, where we are. So we pray for justice and peace, for honesty and mercy, for healing and reconciliation. Jesus is teaching us not to settle for life on earth as a failure to be endured until we get to heaven. We are being encouraged to fight the poverty and inequity and inequality that we see in our world today. Give us this day our daily bread. Remember, we begin each communion service with the words, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. God knows our needs. We say this part of the prayer to open our hearts and minds in faith to receive from God. And with this sense of receiving and of stewardship, we can and should acknowledge our needs to God, but not our needs only. We include the needs of our neighbors, our brothers and our sisters in need of bread, of safety, of healing and peace. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I think Jesus is especially asking us to know that as we receive forgiveness, we must also extend such forgiveness and mercy to others, especially to those who have hurt us in some way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God gives us choices and does not shield us from the hard situations. We pray for God to deliver us and guide us and save us and all our brothers and sisters from evil, including the evil we are tempted to do to others. We must not ever become the evil we deplore. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. In this world and society where there is so much focus on power over others and on getting more power and on acquiring glory, God teaches us to acknowledge and focus on God's glory and God's power. This is but a short snapshot from this prayer we hold so dear, this prayer we all have learned as children, but it has become a part of the tapestry of our hearts and souls. I have seen examples of this countless times as a hospital chaplain. I was at a patient's bedside with his spouse, and we began to say the Lord's Prayer together. Much to our surprise, her husband seemed to briefly surface from a comatose state and was moving his lips to join in praying the words Jesus taught. I have seen patients lost in a world of dementia who have not spoken for years suddenly join in when hearing the Lord's Prayer. And there is someone I bring communion to weekly. She can no longer speak or respond. When I begin to say the Lord's Prayer, I see a softening in her eyes, and I always get this sense she is responding somehow to the words. The words of this prayer stick with us. They remind us that we are loved by a God who is familiar with us. These words ask us to return to God, to hold God's name holy above all else. And these words invite us to become involved in God's work, the work to make this world more hospitable to life in all its forms and varieties. The Lord's Prayer is deceptively simple, but praying this short prayer over and over has the power to lovingly complicate our life, to transform us, and to transform the world. Amen.